You're tuned in to the Todd Coconato Show, otherwise known as The Remnant, one of the most listened to podcasts in the Christian community. You can visit our website, toddcoconato.com. And now broadcasting live around the world from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, here's the host of the show, Pastor Todd Coconato.
Transform Mind Part 3, taking risks. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's very important broadcast. This is Pastor Todd Coconato. Make sure you download our app, Todd Coconato Ministries. It's in your app store and on your smart TV, Roku, Amazon TV, and it is a way around the censorship. I'm so glad you're here today. We've been getting such an amazing response to the Transformed Mind series, and so we thought we'd do yet another one, Transformed Mind Part 3, which is entitled Taking Risks. Taking risks and why we believe that this is the time to do it. What do I mean by taking risks? Well, stepping out of the boat and walking on the water, looking at Jesus in the eye. You know, the Bible encourages us to take risks in the context of faith, growth, and fulfilling God's destiny or his plan for your life. It teaches us that stepping out in faith, even when outcomes are uncertain, can lead to spiritual growth, blessings, and the fulfillment of God's promise for your life. Risk-taking is encouraged in the Bible. Did you know that? It often involves trusting God's guidance, overcoming our fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And we got to be willing to leave our comfort zones for the sake of faithfulness, witness, and obedience to God's calling. So this type of risk is not about recklessness, but it's about a faith-based action, discerning God's will and acting upon it even when it's challenging or the outcome is not yet guaranteed. So I'm going to give you 10 scriptures from the New King James Version of the Bible that reflect the principle of taking risks in a biblical context, along with commentary for each of these, so that you can be set up for success. So today's broadcast is about taking risks, how being a transformed mind Christian, because that's what a Christian is. We're not conformed to the things of this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, meaning we don't think like the world, we don't act like the world, we don't look like the world, we don't basically do anything like the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We're citizens of heaven. Our finances are under God's economy, not the world's economy that is teetering on the brink right now. I believe I speak over you a season of blessing, a season of growth, a season of maturity, a season of walking into the divine calling and destiny on your life. Because here's the thing, if not now, when? When? The hour is getting later and later. Now, I'm not saying to go ahead of God. You got to be careful here. Don't go ahead of God. If he has you in a season of waiting, then you need to wait. But many of you, and this included me for a long time, my season of waiting was over, but the fear of taking the risk and putting it all on the line was holding me back from actually doing it. And one day, the Holy Spirit rebuked me, chastised me, and said, "You of little faith, why don't you have the faith to step into your own shoes? Why don't you have the faith to walk into the calling that I've already ordained for you? I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for your life, but you have to step out of the boat and walk on the water." This is when I realized how important it was in Matthew 14:29, when Peter stepped out. See, Jesus said in Matthew 14:29, he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So Peter takes this significant risk and steps out of a perfectly good boat and walks on water where he could have fallen in and drowned or whatever. You know, he could have, he took the step that he needed to take toward Jesus and what he was calling him to do. He said, "Come." And so when he took this step and he got out of the boat, he walked on the water towards Jesus, he was demonstrating faith and a willingness to follow Jesus' call even into the unknown. Now, I want to get into this a little bit more because this is a very important analogy and it'll make us understand what God is saying here. In this passage, we witness a profound moment of faith and risk-taking. The context is during a stormy night on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus approaches his disciples walking on the water, startling them, and Peter, seeing Jesus, requests to join him on the water. So Peter desired to go out there. Okay, now listen to this. Peter, seeing Jesus, requests to join him on the water. Jesus simply responds, come. With this invitation, Peter steps out of the safety of the boat and into the tumultuous waves. The act of stepping out of the boat represents a significant risk. The boat, despite the storm, offered a measure of safety and familiarity. The sea, on the other hand, symbolized chaos and danger, especially under stormy conditions. Peter's decision to leave the boat and walk towards Jesus on the water was a tangible expression of his trust in Jesus. It was a leap of faith, acknowledging Jesus' power over the natural world and his ability to sustain Peter amidst the impossible. This is so important that we understand this. However, the story also teaches about the challenges of a faith-based risk. Because as Peter noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink, calling out to Jesus to rescue him. Now, Jesus immediately reaches out to Peter, saving him, and questions his doubt, highlighting the tension between faith and fear in a moment of risk. So this narrative is rich with lessons. Let's think about the lessons, because this is going to be determinative of what you're about to do. If you are going to take a risk, you're going to step out of the familiarity of the boat, and you're going to walk towards the calling. You're going to walk towards the calling of Jesus where he's saying, come. Okay, here's what it requires. Number one, stepping out requires trust in Jesus' word. Peter walked on the water as long as he focused on Jesus and trusted in his command. Number two, fear is a significant barrier to a faith-based action. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. With the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. When you have big faith, you're able to accomplish pretty much anything. Anything you put your mind to, as long as it's in the will of God. We don't want to be outside of the will of God. So number three. Let's continue this with number two. Fear is a significant barrier to a faith-based action. When Peter's focus shifted from Jesus to the storm, that's when fear crept in and his faith wavered. So number three, Jesus is present. Oh, this is so important. Please get this right now. Jesus is present in our risks. Even when Peter began to sink, Jesus was there to catch him, showing that our ventures of faith, listen to this, in our ventures of faith, Jesus is always there to support and save us. See, this is where we got to get rid of the fear. Jesus will save us. He knows the risk we're taking. He knows the leap of faith we're taking as we walk into our calling, as we step out of the boat, as we take a risk, as we do something extraordinary. He's present in that moment. He's present the entire time. And this is what Jesus is showing us in this very important story. Number four, there's a lesson in both the risk and the rescue. What? Well, listen, Peter's experience teaches that while taking a step of faith is crucial, there's also a profound lesson in recognizing Jesus' power and presence, especially when our faith falters. They don't teach you this stuff. I don't know why. You want to see a generation of extraordinary folks? You want to see a generation of history makers, movers, and shakers? Well, we have to be a people that learn to get out of the boat, walk on the water, and rely on Jesus. And when our faith falters, he will pull us back up. And as long as we keep our eyes focused on him and the mission and in faith, man, I wish somebody would have told me this 20-something years ago. The game is to be sold, not told. That's what they tell you in the world. Well, God gave us everything for free in his word. So it's not sold. It's actually told for free. All you got to do is listen. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. Listen to this in Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So this verse is encouraging us as believers to take risks and step out in courage, because God's presence provides the strength and the assurance needed to face any challenge. Man, any challenge, whatever you're going through right now, whatever it is that's before you. I know there's some folks on this broadcast, you're remnant warriors, you're Gideon's 300. God has put a big vision on your heart, and sometimes that thing is scary. But what God is saying is take the initial steps. Step out of the boat. Come. He's saying come. And he's going to guide your path and order your steps so long as you are adhering to his word and you are seeking his face and you're in your prayer closet and you're getting divine strategy. Hebrews 11:8. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And when he went out," listen to this, "and when he went out, okay, not knowing where he was going." So Abraham's willingness to leave everything familiar behind and venture into the unknown is a powerful example of us taking a faith-driven risk. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about obedience. Obedience. In Matthew 14:29, Peter's walk on water demonstrates the essence of obedience. It's acting on God's word despite the circumstance. It teaches us that true faith sometimes requires us stepping into the unknown, firmly rooted in the belief that God's commands are infallible, even when they challenge our own understanding of the possible. Well, let's get into the obedience factor of Joshua 1:9. As Joshua prepared to lead Israel into the promised land, God's command for courage was also a call to obedience. This underscores that obedience is not passive, but often requires active risk-taking. That's right, faith without works is dead. Grounded in the assurance of God's presence and his faithfulness. Okay, let's go back up now to Hebrews. Okay, we read a little bit from Hebrews. It was point number 3. Hebrews 11:8. "By faith, Abraham obeyed what he was called to do, to go out in the place that he would receive an inheritance, and when he went out, not knowing where he was going." Now, let's look at that in the context of obedience. I want you to get obedience, okay? Abraham's journey into an unknown land was an act of obedience to God's call, because it demonstrates that obedience often involves leaving the security of the familiar. I'm going to say that again. Obedience involves leaving the security of the familiar. It emphasizes that God's purposes for us can be fulfilled only when we are willing to trust and follow his guidance, even without knowing the destination. Are you getting something from this today? I hope you are. All right, we're going to go to the next scripture here, and it's found in Esther 4:16. And it says, "And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Esther's decision to approach the king was literally risking her life for the sake of her people. And it illustrates the importance of risking personal safety for the greater good. Wait a minute. Let's get into this a little bit more. We got to hover over this for a minute, because I believe there's a lot of Esther's that are listening to this broadcast right now. I believe that God has led you here to listen to this. And I know you may look at yourself sometimes and say, I don't see myself as being anything spectacular. I don't see myself. I don't know how I'm ever going to achieve that. But I'm speaking this over you right now because I believe God has led you here. You are an Esther. Listen to this. Esther's bold declaration in Esther 4:16. It's a pivotal moment of courage. It's a moment of faith. It's a moment of risk-taking in the Bible. It's a moment of obedience. See, this statement is made in the context of a life-threatening situation, not only for Esther, but for her entire people. And the Jews were living at that time in the Persian Empire. So the book of Esther, if you don't know a little bit about it, I'm going to share a little bit about it, but it's set in the Persian Empire during the reign of King Xerxes I. Esther, who's a young Jewish woman, is chosen to become queen after the king banishes his previous wife, Queen Vashti. Mordecai, Esther's cousin and guardian, uncovers a plot to assassinate the king and informs Esther, who then tells the king, giving credit to Mordecai. And this act of loyalty is recorded in the king's annals. So later, Haman, an advisor to the king, becomes enraged when Mordecai refuses to bow down to him. Discovering Mordecai's Jewish identity, Haman persuades the king to issue a decree for the destruction of all the Jews in the empire on a specific day without revealing the targeted group's identity to the king. So Mordecai learns of this decree and mourns publicly. He sends a message to Esther revealing the plot and urging her to plead with the king for her people's lives. Now Esther, who initially is hesitant, explaining that if she approaches the king without being summoned, it literally could result in her death. And so as per Persian law, Mordecai is asking her to do something that's breaking the law. And Mordecai responds with a famous admission, suggesting that Esther's rise to queenship might have been the very purpose for intervening this crisis. In other words, she may have been made queen just for this purpose. So here she is in a very safe, very familiar situation. Okay, very safe, very familiar. And here she's now being challenged to take a step of faith in obedience to the calling on her life that's going to risk everything. So Esther decides to take the risk, asking Mordecai to gather all the Jews in Susa to fast for 3 days in preparation. She vows to approach the king, saying, "If I perish, I perish." Esther's act of approaching the king unsummoned is a significant risk, driven by her faith and her love for her people. Esther's plan involves inviting the king and Haman to two banquets. During the second banquet, she reveals her Jewish identity and exposes Haman's plot to annihilate her people. The king is enraged and orders Haman's execution on the very gallows originally intended for Mordecai. The king then allows Esther and Mordecai to issue a new decree granting the Jews the right to defend themselves against their enemies. And on the appointed day, the Jews successfully defend themselves, and the event is commemorated with the holiday of Purim. So let's go through a few lessons here. Okay, Esther's story is one of remarkable courage and strategic risk-taking. It illustrates several key lessons. Number one, the importance of courageous advocacy. Esther uses her position to advocate for her people and for God, demonstrating that courage and wisdom can change the course of history. What about number two, faith and action? Esther's story emphasizes that faith in God often requires us to take bold risks and actions, even when the outcome is uncertain. Number three, the power of strategic planning. Esther's approach to saving her people is not only brave, but also meticulously planned, showing the importance of wisdom and strategy in facing adversaries. Number four, identity and loyalty. Despite the risks to her own life, Esther chooses to identify with her people, showing unwavering loyalty and solidarity in the face of existential threats. And number five, divine providence. This story is such a powerful example of how God works through individuals like you, like me, like Esther, and circumstances to deliver and to protect his people, often in unexpected ways. You see, Esther's story resonates through the ages as a testament to the power of individual courage, the importance of standing up for what is right, and the belief that one person placed by God in a specific role at a specific time can make a massive difference. Are you getting something? I hope you are. The people in the Bible that made the biggest impact were almost always the folks that took the biggest risks. They stepped out of the boat and they walked on the water. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you one more example. Daniel 3, 17 through 18. Daniel 3, 17 through 18. Says, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we did not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, even though this is the book of Daniel, this is talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and their response to Nebuchadnezzar, showing their readiness to risk everything, risk death, rather than compromise their faith. And this is demonstrating their trust in God's deliverance while accepting his sovereignty even in suffering. Let's get into this a little bit more. So in Daniel 3, 17 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are exhibiting unwavering faith and defiance in the face of mortal danger. And these verses encapsulate a profound declaration of trust in God's power to save, coupled with a steadfast resolve to remain faithful, even if God chooses not to intervene in the way they hope. That's important. See, they're willing to risk it either way because to them, it was about principle. We're not bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar. This is the ultimate transformed mind. See, they were not going to go and conform to bowing down. That's the conform state. In the transformed mind state, it doesn't matter what the outcome is going to be. You're going to stand for righteousness no matter what. That's what God is looking for remnant warriors, for Christians, for the warrior class that he is raising up in this hour. It's a profound declaration in God's power to save. So listen, this moment highlights the essence of faith-based risk-taking, showcasing the blend of absolute trust in God's sovereignty and unyielding obedience in his commandments, regardless of the consequences. Regardless of the consequences. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as this narrative unfolds in the Babylonian Empire under King Nebuchadnezzar, who erects this massive golden statue and decrees that all must worship it. All must worship upon hearing the sound of this music. And here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three young Jewish men serving in the Babylonian government who are refusing to comply. This reminds me of the COVID era and the pastors that stood and the people that stood. You stood. Some of you lost your jobs. You lost your life for a minute there. I mean, you were nurses 25 years. You lost it. You lost the job because you wouldn't take the Fauci ouchie. You know what I'm talking about. There's some of you listening to this right now. You took a stand like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Refused to comply. Refused to conform. And as doing so would violate, this would violate, if they did conform, their faith. They couldn't do it. They couldn't violate their faith. They couldn't violate the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were willing to risk everything. When brought before Nebuchadnezzar, they're given a final chance to bow down or face death by being thrown into this fiery furnace. Their response is a bold profession of faith in God's ability to save them, but also an acknowledgement of his sovereignty in choosing whether to do so. Their stance is not contingent on being saved. This is important. They refuse to worship the statue regardless of the outcome. They've closed any loop. They've closed any back door. Nebuchadnezzar, infuriated with their defiance, orders the furnace heated 7 times its usual temperature and has them thrown in. However, instead of being consumed, they are protected by a divine presence whom Nebuchadnezzar describes as the son of the gods. As the son of the gods. We know who it is. It's Jesus. The king calls them out of the furnace unharmed, without even the smell of fire on them, because there was another one in the fire. Astounded by their miraculous survival and the power of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Nebuchadnezzar decrees that anyone who speaks against their God would be punished, acknowledging the supremacy of their God who could deliver in such a manner. Here's a few lessons before we go. Faith in God's deliverance. Commitment to God's commands. Understanding that God is in control no matter what. His sovereignty. Witness to others. The witness of miraculous deliverance and in the unwavering faith that they had is amazing. God's presence in trials. The presence of the fourth figure in the furnace with them illustrates God's promise to be with his people in their trials, providing comfort and assurance that we are never alone. Hallelujah. Friends, God often requires his children to take risks. It's called faith. When we take a risk of faith, in other words, we step out of the boat, we step out of our comfortability factor, and we step out and we look at Jesus in the eye, something happens. We step into a new realm. We step in a new understanding. We step in a new maturity. Somebody needed to hear this today. I pray for you in Jesus' name. We love you and we bless you. PastorTodd.org is the website. We'll be back soon.